Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Third Stream View with your not-so-humble host, PK. For Monday evening, April 16th, man, it is rolling by. I have a guest returning tonight, a wacky friend of mine, but he knows a lot about gold and such. But as always, I must pay homage to BBSRadio.com. Station 2. That's where I am every Monday evening, 8:55 Pacific, 10:55 Central, 11:55 Eastern. And last week was the Eastern Bunny. Ha ha. Anyway, thank goodness for alternative media and the liberties it gives us to get the message out without the CIA, Zionist, government control, censorship. Manipulation, especially manipulation. So, a lot happening in the news as usual. But tonight, I thought I would pick on Obama, rip Obama some, ridicule and make fun of his lack of wisdom about economics and business and liberty, for that matter, what he's been up to. So, I'm going to have this guest on of mine soon, and we'll talk about Obama, we'll talk about gold, geopolitics as usual, and such. So, and of course, I want to talk about Romney, that brilliant Republican frontrunner. And also talk about Ron Paul, who's still in the race. So those are a few things we'll touch on tonight. Plus, I wanted to go back to some of the things I had in the Constitution with a new secession solution that I wrote. And see what he thinks about some of them. I don't know if he heard all of them, but there's some on economics I wanted to talk about. And civil liberties. I don't know if the boys in the office are there, because I know. So I think that Andy will be coming on soon. Is he out there? I'm getting a message. Yes, that was the right number. I hope that's working. So, my friend Andy will be coming on. Like I said, we're going to poke a little fun tonight.
Poke away.
Oh, it sounds like he's there. Ladies and gentlemen, my multitude of fans, the guest is with us. No, I'm not desperate for guests, but that was the correct number this time when they dialed him. They got through. With little CIA interference, and I always like to say hello to those pricks from the CIA and the FBI and the NSA and the ADL and all the other crowd who would prefer that moi did not have this type of show or didn't have these type of topics that I discuss fearlessly, because they don't like the internet, and their Zionist friend Lieberman would like to have a, like I've said before, like have a government switch where they could just shut the internet down when during emergencies. Gee, to be determined by Lieberman and his Zionist buddies and the other globalists? No thanks. So, Andy, are you out there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me all right?
Yes. So, how's our president doing? Are you an independent? Are you astutely looking back at the election, deciding who to choose?
Oh, what's the choice?
The choice is a right-wing fascist versus an even more right-wing fascist, because Obama is actually a corporatist. They call him a Marxist, but he's more like a Mussolini.
Yeah, just what we need, another fascist telling us every aspect of our life that they can control.
blurring the line between business and industry. Well, but he does it in a smoothly, supposedly educated fashion. He's continuing the Bush oppression with his smooth his take on things, with his clasped hands before him as he speaks calmly, wisely.
Soothing the masses.
Mixed racingly.
Yeah.
Soothing the masses.
Speaking with authority. A father figure, so to speak.
But PK here is not buying.
I'm not buying either, if I can help it.
Good. PK, of course, also being a logical successor to Ron Paul. So Ron Paul's still hanging in there. He's still asking for money, but I wish he grew some balls a year ago or, you know, a lot sooner. And, you know, he's too nice. He should be more combative without ever watering down his message. What say you?
I tend to agree with you. He is a little bit too nice with people. I think if he's a little more forceful with his speech, I mean, he doesn't have to get nasty or anything. He just needs to be, you know, stand up a little more. Don't let people cut him off. Don't let him, you know, control him in front of the camera. But I think he's gotten much better.
Too late.
Yeah.
And he should have done it, be doing it, you know, even back in the 08 campaign. But I offered to help coach him because I would not water his message down at all. But I would say, I would tell him, Dr. Paul, and I gave him a typed out couple of phrases when I saw him in September, shook his hand in person, because I had met him before. But he must say, or he should always say, towards the top of any speech or interview that, you know, let's remember, folks, that I represent the Jeffersonian constitutional wing of the Republican Party, which is where the Republican Party should be.
What it would ideally be, and to the benefit of all Americans.
Yes, but that's too deep for the masses. Leave it with should.
Yeah. A lot of people say things, I should lose weight, I should go on a diet, I should start exercising, I should get a better job.
Right, but I should doesn't mean I force.
Right.
So quit nitpicking.
I'm just saying.
I'm the brilliant intellectual here. You're the,
I'm the
distant,
genius marketer.
Distant heir.
Yeah.
So...
I'm just on
so
the air.
I was going to crack on Obama, too. I mean...
please, do.
Well, you know, I like to find of quoting myself, and I'm consistent, though. That's why I'm a pretty good drummer, because good drummers are consistent. Ron Paul would make a great drummer. But Obama is... When I hear him talk, I do not see a mixed-race president. I see in here a smooth-talking lawyer who remains clueless about economics, economic policy, and economic history.
Sure.
A smooth-talking lawyer.
Go ahead, sorry.
Obama may just as well be, and this is brilliant, I wrote this, Obama may just as well be a mixed-race, blue-blood, skull-and-bones member, because he is a very willing servant of the globalists.
Sure.
And the Illuminati, the Zionist bankers, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you know... Sold Goldman Sachs, you know, fund both Romney and Obama. You know, so it's very clearly it's the one government party with two heads and or the one bird of prey with two wings, only differing on how much to spend, and pretty much the same foreign policy.
Yeah, well, it sounds like what you say when you say Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, they fund both sides. Either side is bought and paid for before the election, is what
and
it
they
sounds
say
like.
They
That's
say it's
exactly
a gift to both
is.
Sides so they can be friends with both sides. And, you know, but it's just how the game is played. It's the corporatist mentality. It's not real free market, free enterprise. You know, they only support it, I guess, if it suits them. But, you know, they're the criminal gang.
Well, it's free market enterprise in the rhetoric. But in reality, behind the scenes, that doesn't exist.
It remains the Rockefeller Rothschild axiom.
Definitely.
And all their minions, and they're behind the banking, of course. So that, you know, that's a big problem.
Yeah. And might I add, how can there be a free market if there is no freedom? Because there's no private property. If you don't have the right to what you own, where's the freedom and where's the free market?
Well, as you know, Yeah, that's correct. As you know, I am not a anarchist libertarian. I'm not even an anarchy capitalist.
Not me either.
I'm, you know, 90% there. But I don't mind paying micro. In fact, that's a word I learned from Lou Rockwell, micro taxes. But
sure.
More at the state and local level. I don't mind user fees. I wouldn't even mind a small property tax. But I always use the word micro. But there's no, you know, income tax. There's no, you know, I should actually go back to, and I will. I will go to my brilliant secession solution, which I was going over the last couple of shows. And when I talk about micro taxes, I mean, for example, the way I see secession, there would be no, food, clothing, housing, cars, and trucks are exempt from sales tax, but not gasoline. We'll put that towards the roads. I get it. There's no income taxes, no withholding taxes, no inheritance taxes, taxes on interest income, no estate taxes, no death taxes, no capital gains tax, no tax on retirement income, no prohibitions to internet gambling. All states pay for their own public works. User fees for roads and bridges go only towards their purpose and may not be used for schools, healthcare, or any other non-infrastructure purpose.
I like that. So what are you going to do about the 99% of the other taxes?
Well, there will be no drug war.
There you go.
Greatly deregulated economy, a 2% excise tax on gambling, alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana, a 2% corporate tax. And that to me is micro.
The casinos would be very happy.
Everybody would.
Yeah.
Everybody would thrive. So that's, you know, that's where I'm coming from. But I don't nitpick some of that stuff. You know, if government provides some stuff and they do it more efficiently and more decentralized, at a much smaller cost and no drug war and better employment and less, you know, apathy and bullshit, then I'm for it.
Yeah, less regulation.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, job-killing regulation, which just seems to be more and more every day.
Yeah, and they try to play the masses, the middle against the masses, but it's, you know, companies also move overseas because they pay the highest income tax here, apparently.
Yeah. That's exactly why they move.
But
they
out.
They can't survive here. That's why they move. They look for greener pastures.
I have about 25 no's here, or maybe more. Capital N-O's under economics.
Let's hear them.
Of course, I have to read the preamble. It's two sentences. Well, they're kind of long. A couple of sentences. Our economic system. but brilliant. Our economic system is not pro-business per se, but rather pro-free enterprise, which prohibits the blurring of the line between industry and government. The market is a constant discovery process with the entrepreneur as the central creative driving force of society. I wish all the billionaire businessmen understood this more clearly. The first economic duty of a government is to preserve and protect a true, honest, and competitive free market economy, which will flourish and promote diverse entrepreneurship in an atmosphere of micro taxes and micro regulations. With the start of the nose, no central bank, no barriers to market entry, no government interference with free trade, no tax-funded bailouts. No bank is too big to fail. No business is too big to fail. No government ownership of bankrupt businesses. No monopolistic political privilege for industry and labor. No tax-funded subsidies for business and labor. No monopolistic political privilege for doctors and lawyers. No government fixing of wages and prices. No crony capitalism, no corporate welfare, no corporate socialism, no state capitalism, no hemp prohibition, no protectionism, no mandatory union membership, no tax-funded farm welfare, no tax-funded sports welfare, no tax-funded science welfare, no tax-funded arts welfare, No government owned and operated postal service. No government enforced FDA AMA pharmaceutical monopoly. No persecution or harassment of alternative medicine. No persecution or harassment of alternative energy. No irresponsibility encouraging government-subsidized flood insurance. No government-controlled mandatory health care. No tax-funded foreign aid. Citizens are free to donate to charities they support. No government ownership of sports complexes, airports, conventions, centers, railroads, radio, or TV stations. Gee, you couldn't get a word in edgewise there, could you?
No, I couldn't. You know what I mean? No.
Because it is their funds at risk to liability lawsuits, the insurance industry will play a larger role in regulating and inspecting its policyholders, such as the oil industry, coal mines, utilities, ocean lines, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Sure.
A weakening of the current patent and copyright laws by at least 75%. Foreign investment into our new ceded state to country territory is most welcome and secure. And a little note here to Obama, Clinton, and Bush, and all the rest. We oppose world government and any call for a fiat global currency. No government membership or political subservience to the UN, CFR, World Bank, IMF, NATO, NAFTA, WTO, CAFTA, Export-Import Bank, EU, or any other statist, mercantilist, tax-funded globalist scheme.
Scheme.
So I've tried to cover all the bases, all the issues, and all my know this, should bring together all these people, because no hemp prohibition, the pro-hemp crowd should understand about, you know, we don't want subsidies or forced unionism. They need to understand the rest of the no's, because they're with me on no FDA pharmaceutical monopoly. So if I was the king or the leader of a country, this would be my objective constitution that I would seek to implement. And if I greatly deviated from it, it would be because the CIA or other mind-inducing crap got me that way. But, you know, I would want everybody to stick with what's written, what we, you know, agree on, because that way, if something happened to me or next in line or whatever, the principles continue. So if the CIA tries to whack us or mind control, that stuff is out there. And crowd control stuff that makes people sick, or, you know, they have all this high-tech stuff. So
sure.
I have to allow for that. And this written document would be the guarantee. So these idiots, if they want to whack leaders off who are dedicated to this, you know, the followers will do the same thing. It'll be futile, in other words.
Futile. Futile. Sorry, I misunderstood you.
Unlike your upbringing, F-E-U-D-A-L, futile.
Yeah, ours was very. Mine was very futile. We were feuding all the time.
You were serfs.
I didn't know it at the time, but now I do.
These are lines. Some of my lines in this Constitution, Secession Solution, actually come from like people like Henry Hazlitt. I just quote them and I just make it part of my sentence.
I'd like to add one more to that. Acknowledging
my intellectual theft, but not crediting them, because I don't want to have footnotes and stuff. People could just read it like it is. And this is, I found this in libertarian literature somewhere. I never forgot the line. Education is far too important to be left up to monopolistic, socialistic, government-owned schools and their teachers' unions to indoctrinate, regulate, and control.
Yeah. That sounds like Doug Casey talking.
Well, I'm Doug's mentor. Private schools of all secular and religious types and sizes must be allowed to flourish anywhere and everywhere, free of government control. Homeschooling will not be persecuted, harassed, or prohibited.
Yeah.
All schools must serve the needs of their customers, that is, the parents and children.
There you go.
And, of course,
and if not, their funds should be withdrawn.
True, which comes to my wonderful writing at the end here. Entrepreneurship is very good for education, too. Martial arts schools and music schools continue to thrive in strip malls and elsewhere. Yet so could math and science schools, computer schools, and English schools, which
and
are
they are popping up. They're actually popping up.
Many other innovative educational opportunities will develop. The former government schools would be leased to private schools. There will be more trade schools and technical schools. So that's where I'd be coming from.
Of course, and less subsidized government schools such as universities as well.
Right. Now, at the end of this, it says, I'll just read the sort of the end, getting there. To more readily achieve our newly seceded nation or nation states, I suggest that the 11 southern states who first seceded should lead the way through nullification followed by peaceful secession based on the new constitution's principles, rules, and conditions as listed above. Other issues and problems will be addressed with a pro-market, pro-individual rights, limited government methodology. Now here we go. Since change is the only constant, our new nation with its true free market economy and its sound monetary system will more readily adapt to technology, innovation, foreign trade, and foreign competition. We will be on the competitive cutting edge with no government interference in the market system and the monetary system. Liberty for all and special privileges for none.
Okay.
You feel like you've just been enlightened by a wonderful secular prophet?
Sure.
A prophet for profit.
Prophet? What? Say that again.
Prophet?
I'm trying to spell.
Don't laugh on my show.
I know. The dearth of humor is killing me.
Yes. Where was I?
Let me add two things to there quickly, if I may.
Sure.
No more victimless crimes, and no more officers of the law, but bring back peace officers who keep the peace as opposed to enforcing the law.
Well,
bring back the no harm, no foul rule.
I haven't worded it like you've said, but if you listen to my here's my civil liberties breakdown. Free speech, free press, religious freedom, freedom from illegal search and seizure, freedom of assembly, freedom of association, freedom of contract, free strong gun ownership rights, fully informed juries, term limits across the board, no career politicians and bureaucrats, civil unions for same-sex couples. Abortion remains legal with absolutely no tax funding, and there are no partial birth abortions. The terminally ill are free to use any medication they choose and to make their own decisions in writing and or on video as to when and how to leave our world. No government regulation or censorship of the internet. No draft registration. No conscription. No drug war. No torture. No victimless crime laws. No persecution of holistic alternative medicine. No affirmative action. No government-enforced political correctness. No judges appointed for life. No government-imposed travel restrictions. No government suspension of civil and economic liberties in times of quote-unquote crisis. Liberty for all, special privileges for none. So I did cover it.
Yeah, you did. Sorry, I missed that part.
Well, just the fact that there's no drug war alone. I don't think I mentioned prostitution, but of course that's of course, I know that all politics is local, all crime is local, all pollution is local, but even in a greatly decentralized society, I'd want them to, adhere to these ethics of liberty and Austrian school economics. Because
sure.
I cover the monetary system. There's no central bank, no monopolistic legal tender laws, no endless supply of paper money created out of thin air and backed by nothing. No government imposed fixed exchange rates between gold and silver.
Yeah.
No taxes or government interference with the creation and supply of gold and silver currency or other currency backing valuable commodities. No government confiscation or prohibition of gold and silver or any other commodities which are freely accepted in the competitive marketplace. No government interference with competing currencies. No government bailouts of foreign banks or any other foreign financial institutions. You got that, mate?
Got it.
And before I go on, let me tell my multitude of listeners, which I forgot to mention, hey, how's my radio voice now, hey, that You can call in here to chat, challenge, praise the great PK here at 888-429-5471. Oh, my goodness, the switchboard is lit up. Well, anyway, so that's where I stand on the monetary system.
Okay.
What say you, less than great one?
I'm good with that monetary system. I think people should be able to freely trade amongst themselves, and you know, the right to individual contract should be upheld.
Now, since I'd have to deal with reality and the way things are, for example, Amtrak, and I'm not a scientist, but I know how to delegate and I know how to manage Amtrak. Amtrak trains may run undisturbed through our states or republics or territories. We will pay to ride them, but we send no taxes to Washington to subsidize Amtrak.
There you go. If they fail, they fail. That's their problem.
NASA facilities will not be disturbed, but no longer funded by seceding states or territories. No tax-funded space program. No government interference with private sector space exploration.
I agree.
You should.
Yeah. There are
now,
plenty
of course, my ego is not about – I guess there's a tiny bit of ego in my secession solution. I don't – perhaps just a little sprinkle. I don't know. But the point is that I'm not taking anything away from anybody except some of the established interests. But I am not a socialist of any stripe. This protects liberty, property, and peace. And another wonderful thing I wrote is that as far as – you know, the infrastructure goes of the way things are, you know, currently in the states that would secede, for example, or, you know, it would break off into new republics. As, you know, Jefferson said that – it is said that Jefferson said that he foresaw America breaking off into several republics and he wished them well.
Yeah, what would be wrong with that?
Nothing. It's more decentralization. But PK's brilliant yet humble warning is, of course, to the new broken-off territories that don't overregulate and don't overtax and don't oppress your people. Don't you impose a stupid drug war or price controls or protectionism or, you know, hemp prohibition. Don't do that.
Yeah, good with that.
Here's my way about charity. You know, I included everybody. So this, you know, there is no government intervention or harassment of private charity. Soup kitchens, feeding the homeless, the less fortunate, and caring for the sick are the duties of numerous charities and voluntary doctor care, including churches, food banks, Goodwill, you know, the Red Cross, Salvation Army. Then I really covered the charity as well. So the left and the atheists get it. And numerous secular and religious charities, including Christian charities, Muslim charities, Hindu charities, Jewish charities, Buddhist charities, agnostic charities, atheist charities, and other private charities. That way the left will feel included.
Yeah, there you go. They won't be able to play the victim anymore.
All current public housing is deeded over to the current residents. It is now theirs to own and maintain and or to sell.
Okay.
So the crib belonged to the cribettes now. So
yeah.
So the, for example, in urban areas where the black folks are living in public housing, said public housing, just we deed it over to them. We cut the government free.
It's yours. Take care of it now.
You know, there's no minimum wage laws. All that distorting kind of junk.
Okay,
so
I like that.
With that, there is no more.
People are free to sell their labor for whatever they can get for it.
That's right. There is no more government-forced urban renewal, which uproots whole neighborhoods and local businesses and the local infrastructure.
Jeez.
Plus, with no drug war, that's going to do far less harm to the black community.
That's for sure.
Those areas will go out of business. I disagree with that black blues player who has that song. Burn the crack house down. Let's go burn the crack houses down.
Ah, leave them alone.
I'll burn the crack house down with re-legalization.
Yeah. There'll be no profit left in it.
Now,
I mean, there will be, but there will be a lot of competition.
Yes, because our new economic system of micro taxes, micro regulations, and no drug war will greatly lessen the number of poor and lower income people while providing much more opportunity in a sea of hopelessness and despair.
I like it.
I'm deep, I'm telling you.
Sounds good.
Drug, alcohol, and gambling addiction will be treated medically with education, prevention, and compassion.
Okay.
No stupid, massive drug war.
It is a waste. It's a waste of everyone's time, resources, lives.
You have a young kid. Your kid is more endangered in this awful prohibition, the crossfire, all the murder or thefts or carjackings or home invasions that come along with it.
Completely.
Everybody's less safe because of it.
That's for sure.
I don't advocate using hard drugs.
Not at all.
If they re-legalized all drugs tomorrow, everybody's not going to go out and use them. Some will. Some will die because of abuse, but you know, I guess we'll weed out the people that way, and other people will use it with moderation or not at all.
Yeah, that's for sure. And plus, the profit motive will almost disappear because there will be way open competition. There will be much more product available. The price will drop. There will be no motive to provide it because where's the money now? They have to go to a more profitable product somewhere along
In fact, another gradual way of getting there thought of is so that the right doesn't wet its pants completely is – All hard drugs confiscated by the law enforcement are just destroyed.
Right away.
Yeah, they just destroy them, and they let the sellers go. Okay, go ahead, try again. But everything, we're just going to destroy it. Yeah. You know. But there will be less hard drugs because prohibition leads to harder drugs. Ron Paul's wrote 24 years ago his case for re-legalization, and he's talked about how prohibition leads to harder drugs, which it does. So the
bigger bang for the buck.
Yes, but the progressive Democrat left crowd has to understand the coming togetherness of where this is coming from. They have to understand about these other government stuff too, and you know. So sometimes people on the left or the progressives, they get real free enterprise means, I've noticed, much more than sometimes conservatives or Republicans, and sometimes people on the left, they're in much agreement with, let the market work without the corporate welfare and the bailouts and the tax subsidies, you know? Perhaps, even though I couldn't stand the idiot, perhaps Marx was close to the mark, a little alliteration there, a little pun, was close to the mark about capitalism destroying itself or
that was his term.
He was referring to crony capitalism, you know, and bailouts and corporate welfare. If he was referring to that, then where the circles cross, I do agree.
Yeah, another rich kid being angry at his father is what he sounded like.
Yeah, but he struggled. He had issues, health issues, and he lived off distance from Engels, I think.
he lived off of other people. They provided for him while he wrote his thesis.
Well, he was the child of rabbis, I think, or a family of rabbis, so his Marxism took on like a religious tone to it.
Very zealotous.
Yes, Marxism is correct because I said it is.
Yeah, really. You know, the funny thing, in Marx, in his day when he was writing his books, he was considered a madman. People would look at him and go, that guy's nuts. Stay away from him.
Well, they were right.
Somebody picked up his book and thought, hey, I can use this. Somewhere along the line.
Now, the end of my brilliant essay called The Secession Solution says, P.S., not P.K., P.S., to those who would say that secession based upon the above new constitution is unworkable, I pose this hypothetical question. If you did have the choice of remaining in the U.S. as it currently is, or you could live in this new constitutional republic, which would you choose?
And why?
They don't have to say why, but I wonder if what America would choose. If this was really given out to America and everybody really read it, I wonder how the country would vote.
I wonder. What would happen if you ask an average person on the street that question, provided all the information, and then let them Would they say, hey, I like that idea, but we have to do this, and what about a union, and what about taxes, and what about...
Well, since you use the word average, since you use the word average, that means that probably half would support it and half wouldn't.
Yeah. Well.
But anyway, back to Obama. What do you think his biggest flaw is? And man, don't say his color. Man, don't say that on this show.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
What do you think Obama's biggest flaw is? And then I said, don't say his color. It's not about his mixed race. He has a white mama, you know.
Yeah.
He's a white man.
Yeah, I still don't get that whole thing, but I won't comment on it.
I don't care because I'm just making fun of it, but his ideas suck.
Yeah, well, once again, you know, when you make the rules, you don't have to live by them. What do you care what rules you make?
Trying to figure out what kind of question I would ask him. And the one I would ask him, I've come to the conclusion is, Mr. President, sir, have you ever read a free market economics book? And if you have, could you tell me the name, please?
I kind of look at it like this. People like Obama and the people he hang with, people at the top of the power spectrum, they don't care about economics. They want to make the rules, and they want to make things work the way they want them to. Whether it works or not, they don't care. They'll blame somebody else when things go wrong. I'm not talking about just Obama. I'm talking about Obama, the Bushes.
That's true to a point.
Name them all.
That's true to a point, but they don't want to make it difficult for their established, connected business, politically connected crowd. You know, they want them to still prosper. But the politically connected business crowd is not necessarily a free enterprise crowd.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
I was being
polite and showing restraint.
Free enterprise would put them out of business.
Yes.
How can they get their guaranteed government contracts and their guaranteed paychecks rolling in from the taxpayer if there was free enterprise? They'd have to compete against everybody else.
Therefore, what is your take on Obama? You know, what I think of the globalist statist?
I think he's like many other presidents. He's a tool of somebody else. I think he's working for the establishment. He's working for whatever the power structure is.
A very willing tool, thank you very much.
Yeah, obviously.
And I mean, Bill Maher gave that idiot's campaign
that
a million bucks.
You don't move from anonymity so quick by not being that.
Bill Maher gave that idiot $1 million through his campaign. Bill, he signed the Military Detention Act. He extended the Patriot Act. Bill!
Bill, I think Bill knows where his money's coming from, too.
And then,
too.
Ron Paul, what's happened to you, Bill?
He just wants to keep his job.
You just want to keep your job.
Serving your Zionist masters. I think Bill Maher wants to keep his job.
Bill,
I think his paychecks grew since he started moving further left.
Bill, I'm not going to BS you, man. Come on. We both understand that you are a gatekeeper for the left. Yeah. Sean Hannity, Limbaugh, they're gatekeepers for the right. You know, you both serve the one government party with two heads or the one bird of prey with two wings. I, PK, on the other hand, am going down the third stream view of liberty, property, and peace.
That's a good road.
And I reject your Rockefeller Rothschild axiom.
Okay. Well, that's
so that is where I see the problem. A major problem. And the globalists, boy, they're really, the arrogance they have now of really moving their plans along.
It seems to be moving quickly, but it's crumbling at the same time because the currencies are all collapsing.
Even more so. I see that the state of Indiana now voted, it has a right-to-work law.
Is that a bad thing?
I don't think it is. I don't care for you. I'm pro-employee, but I don't like unions. They're anti-competitive and they're monopolistic, and they're resting on their laurels. And this I was looking at this musicians union thing talking about, you know, in 1912 and this kind of stuff, a lot's changed since then, and they keep acting like it's going to go throw back to those days when most of the country, only 15 or less than 20% is unionized?
Yeah, and it's mostly government.
Who protects all the self-employed union sorry, who protects all the self-employed people like carpenters, guys who do construction? They're self-employed.
Nobody.
Carpenters, electric, plumbing, all the self-employed trades people or contracts. Gee,
isn't that Aflac?
Aflac?
Yeah. You can buy, like, accident insurance and things. I mean, you can't buy, you know, unemployment insurance. It just doesn't exist. That's supposed to be, you know, but you have to pay into it even if you're unemployed.
Yeah, but please don't use the Aflac sound or words on my show because I'm not getting any money from them. And they fired Gilbert Godfrey, was that his name?
The comedian?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, because he was spoofing them about the Japanese earthquake, I think, tragedy.
Oh.
I forget, something like that.
Okay, I take that back.
So they let him go.
Yeah.
He was very funny on Hef's roast. Hef was roasted about 10 years ago, and he had all seven of his girlfriends, blondes, in the table in front of him, and he's sitting in a nice kingly chair and different
people
coming on.
I am.
Gilbert Godfrey was told a very sick, poor taste joke. It was quite funny. I don't know how it got all tied in, but did you see that roast, the Hef's roast?
No, I didn't see it.
I'm sure you can see it on YouTube. Now, there's a man, there's a good capitalist, Hugh Hefner. He was philanthropist, philanderer, advocate of free speech, a free press, music, jazz, Playboy Jazz Festival, publishing, photography, women's rights, sexual freedom, capitalism.
Definitely.
Who's going to play him in the movie? I'll play him when he's in his late 50s. But who's going to play Hef?
Good question. I have no idea. Wow.
Is Hef not an American icon?
I would say so.
Not unlike you can't compare it to anybody, but his stature, his bigger than life, his stamp on the world. Is he less than a Charles Lindbergh, a Henry Ford, a Count Basie?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily compare him to them, just as a completely different genre.
Can you spell genre?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was something new in its day. It was something completely different.
No, it was something nude in its day.
Nude. Humor.
Well, it's my show. I, of course, do the jokes.
Yes. And we laugh.
You should.
Huh?
Now... Okay, well, Hef, his stature, I mean, what would you compare him to?
Oh, geez, I don't know.
Is he incomparable, baby?
You can compare him to, what's his name, Larry, what's his name from, what was that magazine? No, you couldn't compare him to him.
Larry Flint? Hustler?
What was his name?
Yes, but Hef was never the scratch and sniff guy.
No, definitely not. God, I don't know who you compare him to.
I'd say it's very interesting, the topics we talk about on this show.
That's for sure.
No one else like it. Just
with
waiting for my big break. So I think the election's going to be very close, but Obama's going to squeak by because Romney can't beat him.
I just don't see it happening.
Every
Romney
campaign,
is the MSM's
every,
chosen
every debate,
boy.
If I was Obama, every debate I would say to him, and Mitt, thanks again for being the original architect of Obamacare.
Yeah.
I'd probably open every debate with that, and Romney would deserve it. He talks about shrinking the Department of Education but not getting rid of it. You know, I'm ready for these liberals and whatnot, progressives. Man, hey, Mr. Liberal and or progressive and or Democrat, we already, every state already has a Department of Education, a Department of Agriculture. Why are you taxing regular folks to pay for the federal ones, too? Well,
we need a strong central government so we can control the world.
Yeah. Well, the American empire is collapsing, and I look forward to it in the rebirth of the American Republic. But
that would be good.
I don't see it happening. The country's too big. It needs to break off into other areas.
I'm afraid of what we're going to go through if we can get to that. That's the scary part.
Yes, during a revolution, you're always worried what you're going to get.
Wow.
It can often be worse. That's why mine is based on liberty and property and peace.
That all sounds well, and I like it. That's in an ideal world, that's a great thing. But to get to that, man, can have to break a lot of eggs.
Well,
my
however,
head's not one of them.
But to get to it, most regular folks and small business people would agree, of course.
Sure.
And a other strong leg of this whole thing is that something a lot of people immediately relate to, and of course, which I've allowed for, is that there is no gun control. There is no gun confiscation.
I'm good
like
with that.
Credit checks, background checks, and police reports would detect undesirable would-be purchasers. There are few gun ownership restrictions except towards violent criminals or violent ex-felons. The use of firearms for other than sport, hunting, or self-defense are subject to harsh persecution and incarceration.
Oh.
However,
but they already
because
are.
There is no drug prohibition, no drug war, and vastly increased employment opportunities, the incidence of violent gun crimes and murder will greatly decrease, as will crime in general. I wrote that.
Wow.
You hear this? That was me patting myself on the back.
Oh, very good. Good job.
Well, it's a good choice of words.
Yes, it is. Now, PK, one thing I got to know. Have you ever gone through a CCW class? Concealed carried weapons class?
No, but tell us about your experience.
Oh, well, what I learned is that if I ever pull out my gun, I have a concealed weapons permit. If I ever pull out my gun and use it in self-defense, I'm pretty much, can I say the word F-U-C-K-E-D?
Oh, no, they're going to put me off the air now.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what the whole class tells you the whole time. If you ever do this, you're pretty much your life is over, but you'll still be alive anyway. But the lawyers will do everything they can to ruin you. From that point on, even if you win the legal suit, the whatever, you know, the suit and you get off for whatever defense you, maybe you killed somebody to protect yourself, the civil suits will ruin you. And that's what happens with all the background checks and everything. You're a fine, upstanding citizen until that day you pull out the gun to protect yourself. If you shoot somebody and wound them or kill them, your life is pretty much over. So you could have either just laid down your life and died there or let the courts and the lawyers tear you apart afterwards.
Well, my preamble would be, I would tell all the, Your Honor, the lawyers are, of course, trying to ruin me. That's what they wanted to do. Aren't you fellows trying to ruin me? You know, but since in my world there are fully informed juries, that's not utopia. You know, that's a workable thing. There's fully informed juries. So the incidence of going to jail for self-defense, you know, wouldn't be hopefully the scenario that you've laid out.
Yeah, I hope so too, but
still a massive drug war going on. There is more home invasion. There's more crime because of the tragic economy. There's people are desperate.
Yeah.
So that feeds into it also.
Yeah. Here's the reasoning behind the why I would be so screwed in that situation, and the other person, whoever was attacking me, would not be. The reason is because now that I've taken this class and I have this permit that has been given to me by the government and I did everything legally, I am an expert now. I know everything there is to know about a gun. I know about self-defense. I know about right and wrong. When that gun comes out, I am the only expert in the room. Everyone else is a fool. And that person who attacked me that I protect myself from was just an innocent fool. I was an expert. I should have known better.
What if he has a gun pointed at you?
He's still a fool. He doesn't have the training. Now, if I'm a cop, it's a different thing, though. Because now I have the protection of the police force and the government. But as an individual citizen, I'm on my own. How does that
That's
sound?
True, and that's how it is now.
That's exactly how it is. The individual pulls out the gun to defend themselves, if that gun is fired, even if you just pull it out, you're taking a chance. But that's why you only pull out under, you know, absolute, you know, you have there's an imminent threat of bodily harm or death to a human being at that exact moment.
Well, that's what you have to
tell
the
no
police.
With no other alternative offer, you know, a possible.
It's not that
the secret.
Not that you were afraid, that you were afraid for your life, that your life was in imminent danger.
Your life is in imminent danger, and you have no possibility of escape without injury.
Where does this take us? Where does this leave us with Trayvon Martin?
That's a good question, because all the facts are, I don't think all the facts are being reported. They're saying, you know, even the guy who taught the class, that question came up, and he said, you know what, I haven't heard enough. I've watched all the news lists and everything. He said, there's something missing in this. He says, I can't figure out what it is, but they haven't told us everything.
I kind of think that that kid attacked him.
Possibly. Possibly, but, you know.
That he might have followed him, and last minute the kid turned on him.
Yeah. You know, it's like anything else. At that point, somebody should have just walked away. One or the other should have just walked away. So
it's hard to tell. And when I saw him at the police station, it looked like the back of his head had a nice long bruise on it. So
what?
I don't know, but it wasn't premeditated. I thought it would be more like manslaughter. I don't.
Then he got manslaughter too, didn't he?
He got murder, second degree murder.
Oh, second degree murder.
Which can still be life, I think.
Yeah, life and then some. Plus, this is a political thing. It's a political move, a lot of it. So, it's,
The black people are upset, but there's more black-on-black crime. That's rampant.
Completely. Completely. I mean, if you look at all the statistics out there,
if it was another black guy that killed
private,
Trayvon, you know, it would hardly be news.
Yeah.
But since it's the white man...
Yeah, and we're racist. You know, white
people
are racist.
Now, I heard some other person saying that they were up there in Sanford, and what was on the black folks' mind up in Sanford was not Trayvon, it was the high gas prices.
Yeah.
And that's true.
Well,
anybody else who has
to drive a car or, you know, get someone from one place to another, you know, for a living, that is more important to us. You know, that's an isolated incident that has nothing to do with me personally. It's a tragedy, but what does it have to do with me? There's nothing I can do about it, and I'm not responsible. So I don't believe in collective guilt, as I like to say. Still there? Uh-oh. Did I lose you? Hello?
I think I'm back. Are you there?
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Sorry.
Was that you or me?
I think it might have been me.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't the CIA.
Oh, thank goodness. Not those guys.
Cocaine Importation Agency.
Yeah. I've been trying to think of a good one. I couldn't come up with that. I like that one.
I've seen American and British troops guarding poppy fields in Afghanistan on YouTube.
Sure. I've seen pictures of that the guy who used to be the head of the New York Stock Exchange. The bald guy that was removed a few years ago. I've seen pictures of him in the jungles of southern Colombia shaking hands with the head of the FARC guerrillas and hugging him. You're like, hey, this is my partner here. The guys who run all the drugs. He's like, yeah, we work together.
Well, they do.
I forgot his name. Anyway.
Well, it was fun to ridicule Obama a bit and hear me state my important points from my secession solution, but almost the most important one, it's not on there, is that if this were to be implemented, we implementers wouldn't be subject to mind control or CIA murder, this kind of stuff, that these principles would continue.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I like
that. And with that, young man, I'm going to say, I got to wind down here. Thanks for coming on the show here, Andy.
I'm going to get out the door.
Thank you. I'm going to wind down, and I'm going to say goodnight now, and I'm going to thank all my millions and multitudes of fans, my growing fan base. Thank you for listening in to Third Stream View here every Monday evening, bbsradio.com, Station 2, 855 Pacific, 10:55 Central, 11:55 Eastern, with your host PK here, spreading his wisdom, good and bad humor, and always the ethics of liberty, the Austrian School of Economics, and the ideals of liberty, property, and peace. And with that, I must say farewell to all. Good night, everyone.